Pussycat.
Yeah. you have a speech. Now see if the doctor will see you.
How do you do, doctor? How do you do, doctor?
Oh, is she as pretty as Barbara?
Prettier.
Ah, fantastic. Send her right in.
This is the doctor. He will see you now.
How do you do, doctor?
Oh, nurse.
I fear that the only way to stop those possessed by the spirits of the book is through the act of bodily dismemberment.
The year was 1977. Yes,
I was in no pain, but I couldn't get up. I knew I was losing blood. I saw the blood coming out of my chest, out of my back, blood coming out of my arm. I could see blood coming out. I was trying to get cold and nervous. And I didn't pain. Kept me awake.
It was 10% of your blood, man. You might be in a mixed pain. It was like donating blood. No big deal. If you lose 20%, you might be a little bit faint, a little bit dizzy, heart rate certainly going to go up a little. If you lose 40% of your blood and you're in trouble, you're beginning to lose consciousness as a result of that.
You know, if you ever hear them inside an ambulance, that sound echoes. Today I even hate that sound every time I hear an ambulance. While I was in the ambulance, the pain started. I knew I couldn't breathe. I knew I didn't want to fall asleep. Looking back on it, I think the pain kept me alive. It kept me awake. So I felt that if I fell asleep, I would die.
The usual situation is, we do not feel fear while the situation is going down. We are too busy surviving. It's after the situation is over that we perhaps experience the fear. And we have the shakes, the tremors, and other stress come down reactions.
In the hospital, in the emergency room, you're lying on this table. A couple hours before, you're a big fellow agent, and now they strip your clothes off, and you become like a piece of meat. And you say to yourself, why? Why me? Why? Why me? Why me? Why?
And the emotional impact of the vulnerability is confronted. And in this moment of experience, heightened sense of anger, strong anger,
you have to be prepared. This is not a game. It's not the movies. Guys, it's for real. If you're not scared, that's my problem.
Yourself. Get mad. Get up.
Spit out in. Don't drop that.
Do something. Do something and make sure that if you're going to go, you're going with you.
As important, equally important in my mind, is the ability to be prepared mentally that you're not going to take it. You don't have to go down and stay down. Don't let them put their hands on you. If they want to hurt you, hurt them worse first.
You're looking up and you can see if still see things, see the sky, and you can go through your life. And if you react correctly, you're going to stay alive. You have to stay alive.
If you are not prepared to go out there and use deadly force, and more importantly, to have it used against you, and to come back from the shock of that and go on and to do your job, that today may be as good a day as any other for you to start selling life insurance or find some other honorable vocation.
And then play some rock!
I don't want any children.
to do whatever we can.
Okay. Buddy! What are you laughing at? You got your hand on yet?
That'd be embarrassing. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Oh,
I want to drop that chunk. Are you on the floor yet?
I'm trying to catch my head right now.
Your school.
It was a huge hit. Following VGSA, Paul wants to provide one answer to the question why this is so successful. Psychoanalytical theories.
Jimmy Carter, a peanut farmer from Georgia, became America's 39th president. Disco became the sound of the times as Saturday Night Fever, John Travolta, and the Bee Gees were rocketed into the limelight. Two legends died.
Yeah,
the music.
I know that.
Scheduled program.
Basically, that's what I'm looking for. Thank you. It must be
boiled water. This steam is then.
Good call. Mr. Seward.
Yes, ma'am.
What's it like living near a nuclear plant?
It's about time you start appreciating.
That's a good question. Wherever nuclear plants are located, Americans are finding them good neighbors. Billions of other atoms.
Yeah, who are you, Sean?
Subliminal puzzle radio program. Prepare for subliminal puzzle radio program.
Jackson, Sausage, and me.
Peter.
So.
Shockingly, the true monster was right in front of my face the entire time. I put an alarm on this house to keep monsters out. When, shockingly, the true monster.
And now, my young star.
Which?
Yes. Excitement. His chant spun around and swirled into the
Yeah, how about that? They're amazing. And it's an old store. Now it's a house. I mean, a home. Wow. Never
With the roar of great engines, the ship caught the solar wind and entered deep space. Ted was so happy, he began to laugh with pure joy. Snowball joined in with the sound of icicles tinkling. Everyone was full of laughter and life as they passed the merry dapper.
Hi, this is Lucy, and my guest today is Miss Julie Newmar. As many of you know, Julie plays the role of a female robot in the new TV series Living Doll. But take it from me, Julie is no mechanical tinker toy. This statuesque, brown-eyed blonde is the epitome of a real, live, breathing, living doll if I ever saw one. Her beautiful face and fabulous figure have helped to make her one of the most popular young actresses on Broadway and in Hollywood. Julie, darling, I'm delighted that you had time to drop by today.
Oh, thank you. This is a great honor for me, Lucy.
Well,
you have no idea.
Well, thank you. You know, statuesque is truly the word that describes you, Julie. The first time I saw you walk across a studio lot, I said, she walks like a dancer. And someone said, she is. She's a very fine dancer. I understand that's how your fabulous career started, actually.
Well, it did. Actually, it was my mother who got me started dancing. She was in Ziegfeld Follies, and she wanted to give me all the kind of lessons she didn't have, you know. She was in the Follies with Marilyn Miller. So I must have had acrobatics, Spanish, character, Rue St. Denis, ballet, toe. I remember taking 8 classes on Saturday just in dancing alone.
That's a lot of classes, but did you really resent it, or did you not mind it?
Oh, no, not at all. I just did everything I was told, and I'm very glad that it worked out that way, because I think that it's the best preparation for acting, because you have use of your body that, without training in either dance or mime or whatever men do in particular sports or things, you haven't the facility to work, particularly in comedy. Wouldn't you say that?
Of course. I know it's very important, but at an early age, children sometimes resent the fact that I know my daughter complains if I get too many lessons going for her, because I feel the way your mother did, that expose them to a teacher now and then, and let's see if they can keep up an interest in something like that.
Having you as a mother, they wouldn't need a teacher, because just observing you is enough learning.
You'll find out, Julie, when you have children of your own, that they pay no attention to you. They still have to have a teacher. They don't really want to compete with you, you know. The training that you did have, because your wonderful mother, who incidentally I understand was a Ziegfeld Follies beauty.
Yes.
What was her name in the Follies?
Helen Jesmer.
Helen Jesmer.
Yes.
Beautiful name, and I understand one of the most beautiful women that ever walked across Ziegfeld's stage.
Oh, Eddie Cantor said she had the most beautiful legs in the Follies.
Well, I should like to meet her sometime. Do your family...
They live out here.
They live here?
Yes, about 10 minutes away.
Perhaps you'll let me meet your mother and your dad sometime.
She'd be so delighted.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a very brilliant brother who goes to Harvard now. He graduated in astrophysics at Caltech and has all kinds of awards from all around from the country, and right now he's in political psychology. I'm terribly proud of him, as you can tell.
Aye, and it's very impressive sounding. What is his age?
He's 22.
Is he an older
22.
Brother?
That's very nice, too. He's very much younger.
Have you always been tall, Julie?
Yes.
Did it bother you at any time, like it does some children? I have tall children also.
It bothered me until I had a kind of inner confidence about who I was until I learned who I was.
And when was that? When did you learn who you were and how?
I think it took about 7 years. And it started about the age of 20. It's a gradual kind of getting to know yourself, and you stop imitating, you stop emulating other people. You know, I'm sure painters do that. They copy Rembrandt, or even comedians copy. They copy you. I know I do.
Thank you. It's a wonderful
feeling, isn't it? I know that I so much. You, to me, you are the greatest comedian in the whole world. Everyone else says that too.
Thank you. But it is a wonderful feeling when you get to sort of know yourself.
Yes, it is. Yes.
It's a great inner feeling.
Yes, that's right. It's a certain thing that I found just the other day as I was working on The Living Doll. And in the 16th week of shooting, I found what we in acting call our consciousness, the thing which moves you from inside out, which mm-hmm. gives you, in which you can do no wrong. You know?
I should think being a robot would be one of the most difficult things to do in the acting profession. And especially anyone as lively and as, earthy as you are, Julie, as we know you, you know, bouncing and gay and wonderful. I should think that it would be sort of a pull down every day to be a robot.
It's a curious thing to play something that you feel you are the opposite of.
Yes.
And yet it is marvelous because then you can build up something and
feel an accomplishment?
Yes. Once in a while I play parts of really witchy women, really evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't quite think of myself like that.
Of course
but I
not.
Find that there's a freedom in doing that and letting out what witchiness there is in me. And there is every element, every coloration in a person's emotion. We are all from good to evil. We have everything. It just depends upon what we show and what we demonstrate, kind of like exercising muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But I find out in letting that out, there's a tremendous richness and a wonderful freedom that is sometimes even richer than trying to behave like what I think I am.
A little hard for the layman to understand.
Do you understand that?
I think I understand most of it.
Well, they often say, they often say that a person who in real life is really very kind can play heavies on the screen and do them so very well. And so oftentimes the opposite. Those who play all the nice, sweet, little, wonderful, kind little girls are really impossible women to work with.
Yeah, I know. I want to quickly jump to your decorating arts. You seem to have a great pride in your New York penthouse.
Well, I love to do everything. I love to paint and sketch, and I design all my own clothes, you know.
Yes.
I like to cook and do all sorts of things.
Where did you learn all
artistic.
That?
From my mother.
From your mother?
She's very artistic.
She sounds like a fabulous woman.
You're a good cook, I'll bet, just bet.
Well, good plain cook. If I had more time, I think that's it.
But you have it with you. You know, you have it there.
I like to cook, and I'm teaching my mm-hmm. children to cook. I think it's a marvelous thing for both boys and girls to learn.
Yes.
Do you sound like you've had a wonderful childhood and a wonderful life?
Well, particularly right now. And I think the most extraordinary part I've ever had is this Living Doll, because it's presented the biggest challenge to me. And I think the more someone asks of me, the happier I am in trying to fulfill that. I would say that I'm at my happiest now.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. You're really trying to please, aren't you?
Yes.
At the moment, you are staying in California, of course, because of your work. But I understand you have traveled a great deal. What's your favorite country, besides America, of course?
I'm very much at home in England, because people there are so basically and innately kind. They so desire to please people. There's such warmth that you feel you can go out even further to them. You can open up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You feel so comfortable.
What about Spain?
Spain is curious. It's changed. I just came back from there, as a matter of fact, bought about 25 new dresses from a new couturier that I discovered, which is kind of great fun.
Are you that interested in clothes, Julie, besides the ones you design for yourself?
No, but don't you on television have to have an awfully big wardrobe, don't you?
Yes, I do for various things. I'm not terribly interested in clothes, but I must say if I had found someone that was, you know,
why?
Real great for, I don't know. I like to be so relaxed in my own living that I don't really care about clothes. Of course, I have to have them for when we do go out, and I happen to be married to a man who is very cognizant of the well-dressed woman and what she should wear, so he puts me to shame quite often.
I always wanted to ask you, because you wear slacks a lot, does that help you to play comedy or because you feel free?
I feel free in them. I feel I need every free moment that I mm-hmm. get, and I feel freer in that type of clothing, what I call station wagon clothes, you know, relaxing clothes. Julie, you are a font of many things that I would like to probe. Would you come back again?
Oh, thank you so much.
Our time is up for today, and I just want you back because I've got a million questions to ask you. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
I have been talking to Miss Julie Newmar, star of Living Doll. and she sure is one. Bye. Bye.
the weatherman.
You know what?
He's still around, right? The weatherman?
Have a nice day. Enjoy your freak out.
On the way to Mars, they carefully rolled through an asteroid belt of planetesimals, passing closely by an exhausted planet, still shining faintly in the universe. A cool old red giant was expanding into scanner mode. A blue-hued pilot told Ted to take over the controls. They flew through space.
Hello?
It's a way of saying, despite how deeply I'm living in my own head right now and thinking about my jokes, I just said something that much better than all of me.
I built this city on rock and roll.
You have to go.
Dropping the emphasis at the end of sentences.
Welcome to the portal time. Pretty cool just to come here.
Anywhere, anytime. I pray.
Now I think that you're talking about.
Well, God controls time and all time speeds up.
I'm not following.
Every living thing follows one step ahead.
Free Christmas, free.
Il est midi.
C'est l'heure de déjeuner.
Qu'est-ce qu'il y a à manger?
Des saucisses.
Écoutez et répétez. À midi. À midi. À midi.
Quelle heure est-il? Quelle heure? Quelle heure?
and slow coverage back through space furthermore disorientates us already. The endlessness of space is also a contrast to the images directly followed by the title.